Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the last chapter, chapter 28. And December, we were kind of setting that aside as the month of discipleship, but November kind of got a little bit interrupted, and December a little bit. If some of you don't know, I broke my left leg. High enough that the doctors referred to it as I broke my hip, but it didn't get into my socket there. So we're recovering from that left leg being broke. We saw the doctor last Wednesday, and they said I still had four more weeks of only 25% weight on this leg. So we may be using the wheelchair for a few Sundays, but continue to pray for us. We thank the Lord that it's already healed and to the degree it has. And so just pray that God will continue to help us. Matthew chapter 28. I do want to talk to you this morning, though, about making disciples. And let's draw your attention to verses 18 through 20 of Matthew chapter 28. This is after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Jesus had gone to the cross to suffer for our sins, to shed his blood so that we could receive atonement and forgiveness, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and early Sunday morning walked out of that tomb alive from the dead, was with his disciples, and before he ascended back into heaven, he gave them these final words that we're reading here in Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day. As Brother John pointed out with the song, we have so much to praise you for. Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've given to our bodies. We thank you, God, for the grace that you've given us to handle difficulties and hard days. We thank you, Lord, for being back in your house with your people. And Lord, we plead with you this morning that you would meet with us, that you would speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from heaven, Lord, not just from an individual or person, but we need the Holy Ghost of God to speak to us. And Lord, we plead with you that your Spirit would do a great work this morning and helping us, Lord, to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ, and Lord, the responsibility we have to teach others how to be followers of Christ. So Lord, please guide me this morning, empower me, give me unction, and Lord, help me to say only what you would have me to say, and help us, God, to do your will. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So since we try to set aside the month of December for discipleship, I could not think of, and I would challenge you to think of, a passage of Scripture that is more directly informing us about what discipleship ought to be than this section that we read to you this morning. And Matthew chapter 28 is known as the Great Commission. How many of you ever heard it referred to as the Great Commission? And the commission is something that we've been given to do. It is an act of entrusting to us, or a charge or duty. And God has commissioned us that we would get the gospel to the end of the world.
Amen.
That's the responsibility of the church. It is to make sure that every man, woman, boy, and girl hears about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have an opportunity to to receive the Lord as their personal Savior. And so that's the charge that Jesus has entrusted to us. It's called the Great Commission because it's the greatest work that there is to do in all the world. When we were in rehab, I really appreciated the therapist, and I appreciated the nurses, and I appreciated the doctors, and I really marveled at the therapist, and I thought, man, you've got to be a blessing to a lot of people. They come here, they're wounded, they don't know what to do, and you direct them into a way of healing that benefits their body. I imagine that's a rewarding work, wouldn't you? Amen. Someone comes to you there in a pain and suffering, and then by the time they leave, you've helped them exercise, they're feeling better, and to know you had a role in that has to be a rewarding work. But even as I thought about that, I was reminded by the Holy Ghost that the greatest work in all the world is the saving of the lost. And we all who are saved have that responsibility to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ so they would be saved too. No matter what your work is, it's a noble work. Work's a good thing, but don't ever forget the greatest thing that you'll ever do is help a lost soul that's dying in their sin and headed toward an eternal hell come to hear about Jesus and meet the Lord as their Savior and be delivered from the power of Satan and transformed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the greatest thing in all the world. Amen? Amen. It is a great commission. And that great commission wasn't just to the 12 disciples or 11 that Jesus is speaking to on this occasion. The Word of God's alive. It's active. It's powerful. When we read this text, this is a word for us as well. All power is given to Jesus, and he is saying to all of us, because of that authority and power, go ye into all the world and tell them about Jesus and his power to save. Amen?
Amen.
And even with that great commission, how many of y'all know that sometimes it's called the great omission? They tell me that 95% of the people who claim to be saved, 95, never lead another soul to Christ. 95% of the people who say they're saved never obey this command. They never reach out with the gospel and tell somebody else how to be saved, and they never see a soul saved their entire life. Not long after I was saved, we would sing a song at our church. And the song was, "Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? With not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go?" Most people who have been saved, according to those stats, will stand before Jesus and they'll go there with not one single soul to present to the Savior. And what a sad occasion that will be to stand before Jesus empty-handed. Amen.
Amen.
This great commission is for all of us.
Yeah.
Whether you say, "Well, preacher, I'm a little bashful," or whether you're not bashful at all, you and I must trust that the Holy Ghost of God will help us to be the witness God has called us to be. Amen.
Amen.
I went out one time with a group of teenagers from a Bible college. And you know how teenagers are so different. But there was one young lady in there that was very mild and quiet. She had a quiet spirit about her. I mean, even her appearance was real quiet. And her voice was real hard to hear. And we were going out visiting in the community, knocking on doors and talking to people. And I thought, she probably is not going to talk to anybody. And I got to talking to some of the other people, and they said she's the most aggressive soul winner that they know.
Amen.
You said, "Preacher, I can't talk to people." God can help you in that area. Amen.
Right.
And you and I need to seek the Lord's help so that we can be obedient to this great commission.
Amen.
In order for you to be a a person that makes a disciple, you must first be a follower of Christ yourself. I wonder if you can answer this question this morning. Have you personally received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'm glad I can say yes to that. I'm glad I know that my home is heaven and I'll be with Christ Jesus one day forever and ever because I've trusted Him. But if you have not trusted Him yet, you are not a follower of Christ. You're not a disciple of Christ. You can't disciple others until you become a follower of Jesus. Amen? In order to become a follower of Jesus, you must trust in what Christ did on the cross. It's sufficient for your salvation, and only what Jesus did will save you. Amen? What Jesus did was took your sin and my sin. He suffered as our substitute on Calvary. He paid our entire sin debt. And He says to us, if we want forgiveness of our sins, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior. And we can be followers of Christ as well. Amen?
Amen.
And if you have not done that, we urge you to follow Jesus today. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. First of all, I want you to notice the power that's been provided. Jesus said in verse 18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore.
Yes.
A lot of times when we think about carrying the gospel to the world, we make a tragic mistake. We try to do that in our own strength and our own power. And we forget that God has given us His power to carry on this work. Now, I think we all make this mistake, and we make it more often than what we realize that we make it. Even if you go out on a regular basis and you're trying to tell people about Jesus and how to be saved, if you're not careful, you'll start trusting your salvation plan and how you can tell people and explain the gospel. And if you just have a way of explaining it just right, then you'll see people get saved. You know what that is? You're trusting in something other than Jesus. Now, I think you are to work on presenting the gospel. I think you are to know passages about presenting the gospel. Memorize those passages. That's not wrong, but just trusting in a plan is wrong, because the power is not in a plan. The power rests only in Jesus Christ. And if we'll go trusting in the power of Christ, then we can trust that God will do the work that only God can do. But if we go trusting in our own strength, we're not going to see what God can accomplish or what God can do. And by the way, we need to constantly remind ourselves, it is God that does the work of saving. It is the Holy Spirit of God that does the work of drawing. And we must rely on the power of God as we present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many things can you do in the Christian life without Jesus? How many things can you accomplish in the Christian life without Jesus? You know what the Bible says about that in John 15 and verse 5? Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
Don't get in the habit of reading your Bible without asking Jesus to help.
Amen.
Don't get in the habit of praying without asking Jesus to help. Please don't get in the habit of presenting the gospel of Christ without asking Jesus to help, because we can do nothing without His power and His presence. And Jesus said, before I tell you to go, I want you to know something. I have all authority in heaven and in earth. I have the power necessary. And because I have the power, go ye therefore.
Amen.
Based on my power. God has provided sufficient power for all of us. Sadly, I think sometimes we are like Samson. Have you ever read the story of Samson in the book of Judges?
Yes.
Samson was a very strong man, empowered by God. But did you notice something? Before Samson did any great powerful act, he had some fleshly problems.
Amen.
Right? Yes. in Judges chapter 14, he goes down and marries a Philistine. And he's not supposed to marry outside the nation of Israel. But he finds a beautiful woman and he goes to his mom and dad. He said, I want to marry her. Mom and dad said, son, don't do that. He said, nope, that's the woman for me. And remember when he's going down there, he meets a lion. L-I-O-N. Lion. I might not pronounce that exactly right. And what does he do? He rips the jaws in two. Now, he's going in disobedience. And still, the power of God comes on him and he rips the lion's jaws in two and he slays the lion. Later on, he'll get in conflict with these very Philistines and he'll take the jawbone of an ass or a donkey and he will slay 1,000 of them with a jawbone of an ass, a donkey. That's all the weapon that he has. Just this. And he's in the flesh and he's being disobedient. In Judges chapter 16, it says to us, he's in Gaza and he's met a harlot there, and it says that he slept with her. And then he's inside the city and he goes to the gate of the city and he rips the gate off its post with bars and all. And he carries it, some say 37, 40 miles away and plants it on the top of another hill. After he slept with a harlot. You know what Samson was doing? He was saying, I still got the power of God. I can still do whatever needs to be done. I don't have to watch my life. I don't have to live clean. I don't have to do what God wants me to do. This power is always going to be mine. I'm going to have it no matter what. He didn't realize where that power really came from. So we see him with Delilah, and then he's getting closer and closer to telling the story of his strength. And finally his hair is cut, and he says that he was just like any other man. And I'm afraid we do the same thing. The power is available. We have the power of God. We see some things accomplished because of that power. The lion is destroyed. The enemy is defeated. The gates are carried off. And we think, well, you know, at least we're doing something. When there could have been so much more that God would have done if we would just yielded our life completely to Jesus Christ. Amen. You see the point there? Yes, you may win this soul here or there. But maybe God wants to use you in a far greater way than you've ever even dreamed that he would use you. If you and I would rely on the power that he promised to every single one of us. Remember what he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Power to witness. Amen. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. That power is God's power. Amen. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power we all need. That's the power that without this power, we will not see souls saved. And that's why so many of us get discouraged, because we tell others about Jesus and we never see God doing a single thing. And we think, what am I doing here? Well, continue to go and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. Amen. And if you do that and people are saved, praise God. Look at what Jesus did. And if they're not saved, praise God. Amen? Amen? Because the power of God was at work. It's not my fault that people were not saved. God dealt with their heart, and that'll be up to them whether or not they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The power that God has made available to every single one of us. The power greater than any power in the world. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
More powerful than the atheistic influence that's in the world. And that's all throughout our school system, all throughout the college system. It's infected with atheism and secular humanism. You say, preacher, how in the world are we to oppose secular humanism and atheism? Because the power of Christ is far greater than that power. All those powers combined are nothing compared to the power of God. Don't let those powers discourage you. Because God's power is the greatest power of all.
Amen.
Remember, there was nothing at one time. Amen?
Amen.
There was only God.
Right.
And God said by His own power, let there be light. And it came into being because God just spoke it into being. What kind of amazing power is that? And that's the power God makes available to us. Not that we can speak it into existence, but that God can do anything. Some of you have been praying for your lost loved ones for a great number of years. And you're wondering, what is going on? I can tell you what's going on if you're trusting in the power of God. God is working in their heart, convicting and challenging them to be saved. Sometimes when I'm praying for them, I say, God, go to them right now and prick their heart. And I believe with all my heart He's doing that.
Amen.
He wants them saved far more than we want them saved. Amen?
Amen?
Greater than atheism, greater than Hinduism, greater than Mormonism, greater than the Muslim work that's in the world. Amen?
Amen.
It don't matter what the power is. Their power is nothing compared to the power of God. Greater than all the power of Satan and demons combined. Do you know they are no threat to God at all? Remember reading the Gospels? How many times when you read the Gospels did you see the demons or Satan defeat Jesus? Did you ever read that? No. How did they respond to Jesus? The demons. They trembled.
Amen.
They were afraid. They were afraid He might cast them into the abyss, into hell, right at that very moment. They trembled in the presence of the Son of God. Amen? And yet we talk about trying to spread the gospel and win people to Jesus. We talk about the power of the world and the power of the devil, right? Is that true or not?
Amen.
Instead of saying, what about the power of God?
Amen. Right.
I'll be honest with you, sometimes we go into some communities that are a little bit more richer than some of the other communities. And the poorer communities, if you go to the door most of the time, some people come out and talk with you. Get to the fancier homes, more affluent neighborhoods. They have sometimes a bad spirit, and sometimes they won't come to the door, and there's a pride there. And you say, preacher, how can we penetrate places like this? How can we do that? By the power of God.
Amen.
And we ought to knock on the poor home and the rich home, because the poor man needs Jesus, and the rich man needs Jesus too. Amen?
Amen.
You say, preacher, God said it's harder a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. But He also said, with God, all things are possible.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Is that true? Yes, it's true.
Yes.
You see the power that God has given you? It's not just the preacher that has this power. It's every born again Christian. God says to that Christian, I want you to go and tell other people. And the reason I'm commanding you to do this is I will be with you and I have power available for you.
Amen.
Go trusting in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And then notice, if you would, also the potential revealed. What did Jesus say in verse 19? Go ye therefore and teach, what's the next two words? All nations. Isn't that exciting? And Jesus says to us There is not a nation in the entire world that my gospel cannot be preached and that people could not be converted. Think of those difficult places in the world today. Jesus says, I want you to go there and there teach people. Make them my disciples and baptize them. Because there's no place in the world that the gospel cannot reach and convince men to trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That is wonderful, glorious news.
Amen.
That God loves everybody. Amen. And He wants everyone saved.
Right.
Think about the hardest places in the world. China is very opposed to the gospel. Many of the Christians in China have spent years in prison because they met at someone's home and worshiped Christ together. Years. Sometimes 3, 5 years in prison. Why were you in prison? Because we met and we worshiped Jesus with other believers. How more opposed to the gospel can you get than that? And yet they say there's a revival in China and people are coming to Christ by the thousands.
Amen.
Even with that great oppression of the gospel, still multitudes are being saved.
Amen.
You say, preacher, there's some places in the Muslim world where Christianity is attacked constantly. And you go do a study yourself. They're telling us among the Muslim communities there, many who are turning to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People have been praying for that area of the world, the 1040 window, for years and years and years, that the gospel would reach places like Pakistan and Afghanistan and other places where Christians can't go and preach the gospel. They would be martyred in the street if they did that. How are we going to get the gospel there? Christians are there already, and the gospel is spreading. You and I have a role to play in that. It's our job to get the gospel out to our neighbors and our communities. Amen?
Amen?
It's wonderful to hear that people are being saved in other places. But what about your neighbors? What about your loved ones? What about others? Are you doing what you ought to do to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now listen to me, because the God sends us everywhere, it doesn't mean that everywhere is going to be a great booming success. God never promised that. We have this mentality that if I go somewhere, then multitudes are going to be saved. If multitudes don't get saved, then God did not send me there. That's not the case at all. You know, God has sent some people in the Bible to a place just so that one person would be saved. Y'all know that? Remember in Acts chapter 8, Philip was in a great revival and multitudes were being saved. And the Spirit of God said to Philip, go out into a desert place. I've got a man out there in a chariot. I want you to meet him. He goes out there and he hears the man reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some men guide me? Who is it talking about? Is it talking about the prophet or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
Read it for yourself. It's not long that the Ethiopian sees a body of water and he says, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be baptized. He said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He stopped the chariot. They both went down in the water and Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch returned home and he started telling people about how he met Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Just for one soul. And that may be what God has missioned or commissioned you to do, to talk to one person, because when that one person receives Christ, there's no telling how many people he will bring to Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Look at the life of Jesus. Let me leave this with you. And did everywhere Jesus go, were there multitudes that were saved and followed him? Do you know that that's not the case? There are some towns that he went to, and he performed more miracles there than any other town. And Jesus said to those towns, "Woe unto you. Sodom is going to have it easier on the day of judgment than you will. If I had done the works in Sodom that I did in you, Sodom would have repented of her sins and they would have been saved.
Yes.
I've done all these mighty works in you, Capernaum, and you still refuse to trust me as Lord and Savior." How long did Noah preach the flood is coming? You would think after that many years of preaching, the list to sign up on the ark would be quite a large list. They might even start building another one after 120 years, right?
Amen.
Y'all remember how many people got on the ark? Only eight people after 120 years of warning. A flood is coming to destroy the earth. Sadly, yes. It's not always going to be a booming success, but thank God that eight souls were saved.
Amen.
Thank God that some in Capernaum heard.
Amen.
Even Paul's mission trips, they were not all great successes. Look, the first places he went to, one person was saved. No church was established. He went to Athens, Mars Hill. We never hear about a church there. But we hear at the end of that, Acts 17, that some believed and were saved.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
It doesn't mean it's always going to be a great booming success. It means that we are to be faithful, going in the power of God,
Amen.
Telling people Jesus saves, and trusting God to help us not only bring them to Christ, but bring them into a likeness of Christ as well.
Amen.
You know, our job's not done when they receive Jesus as their Savior. It really just gets started. Because he tells us, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you.
Amen.
By the way, it's not teaching just the good things they like to hear.
Exactly.
It's teaching the things that our flesh doesn't like to hear. Amen?
Amen.
And showing them how they can be a true follower of Jesus and become like Jesus in their life. Amen? That's our goal. Make others like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And God help us to be faithful. It starts with giving the gospel to them and then instructing them on how they can grow and become like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And may God use you in that work.
Yes.
Have you ever led a single soul to Christ? If you haven't, you may need to come to an altar and say, "God, help me. Help me to tell others how to be saved." You say, "Preacher, how do I start telling people? Tell them how you got saved."
That's right.
You know, if Paul got in a hard spot, he'd always say, "Well, let me tell you about the road to Damascus and where I met Jesus."
Amen.
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 You can do that.
Yes.
Tell them about Jesus.
Get
them to come to church. Help people.
Yes.
If America ever needed people turning to God again and trying to help others become followers of Christ, it's this hour. Amen?
Amen.
And may God help us to do our part. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, I plead with you, come and be saved today.
Amen.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You may slip in a shower and break your leg. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You may leave this world. And if you don't know Jesus, it's awful to leave this world without Jesus. Because there's only one place you can go. And that's not heaven, that's hell, right? And Jesus loves you and wants to save you. Would you come to him? And if you're a Christian, you kind of gotten involved in the world and making money and just living in this world and you've forgotten about the Great Commission, why don't you come and say, "Lord, help me start talking to people about Jesus again." Would you do that? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, please help us this morning. We thank you for our salvation.
Yes.
Thank you, God, that when we were lost, somebody came and told us about Jesus and how to be saved. And we also thank you, God, that as they spoke to us about the gospel, you, through your power, drew us to yourself. Lord, you told us that we needed to be saved, and you helped us that we were saved. We thank you for that. Lord, if there's any this morning in our service that are lost, would you please draw them as well this morning and tug their heart, and Lord, help them to know they need to be saved in this very service, and help them to come to be saved. And Lord, if there are Christians here and they know it's been a long time since they've tried to help people come to know Christ as their Savior, they kind of got wrapped up in the world and trying to make it financially and so busy about earthly things, temporal things, that they let spiritual things go. Lord, help them to find a place in the altar this morning and ask your God to forgive them and or to use them. Help them to get back busy about trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. And God, will thank you and praise you for what you do in this very moment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to page 489. 489. If you need to come for prayer, please do that. 489.